Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. The Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 354 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Annalita. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you, Anna.
Today, we will be discussing part 3 of chapter 19 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, The Silver Doe. So make sure that you have read the chapter. Did I do this last time?
You did.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Fight, because they're going to fight.
Oh, fight your way through the details. Break out!
Scram!
Have you seen
she doesn't want to talk to you.
No? What is that? What's Scram?
How do you not know that?
It's all over the internet.
I haven't been on the TikTok in a minute.
It's that person on the Insta.
It's that old.
Scram. I haven't been on Instagram in a minute.
She doesn't want to talk to you.
Beat it.
Cam, the backup dancer from the Eras Tour. Cam.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
For his We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, when he says something, he went, Scram!
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, recap. Ron saved Harry's life.
Woo!
Jinx, hear me a Coke. It's actually written there, so I think that's a false jinx.
I didn't know it was written.
The disappointment.
Oh, I got a really good one because nobody else said it.
So now for the epic showdown between Ron and the Locket Horcrux.
Ding, 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 ding.
Harry gets to see some real deep secrets spilling out.
Ooh.
But Ron finds the strength to destroy it. Takes out Riddle's eyes. Why'd you look at me?
I don't know.
Ron and Harry clear the air between them. The end.
Okay.
Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flickcast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and gives you access to all of our exclusive extras. As always, we are accepting Potter stories or just any fun stuff, questions, or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
It is finally over, my friends. The Locket Horcrux is gone. So Harry and Ron finally walk to each other and hug, even though 2 seconds ago Harry was like, I'm for sure this guy's gonna stab me with a sword.
He came back to rescue me just to kill me.
So now everything with this is over. They have the mission of going and finding the tent again, but luckily it's not too difficult because it didn't feel too long with his best friend at his side.
Aww.
I know, it's so cute. So Harry goes into the tent and he is so excited to wake up Hermione and tell her about Ron's return. It's felt so warm. Remember, they're both wet from the pool because neither one of them did any magic to dry their own clothes or anything like that.
Dummies.
That would be the first
literally wizards
spell I'd want to learn.
We're wizards.
Warmth.
Or just like dry, to dry off. Spell.
Yeah.
Well, Hermione has her bluebell flames. Shout out to Sorcerer's Stone. And they're keeping her warm as she sleeps. And it took several times for Harry to actually like get her up. And so when she finally is awake, she's like, what is wrong? Who's dead? Are you okay? Basically, because it's like, why would he be waking her up like this? And he's like, yeah, everything's great. Better than fine. Ron's back. Quote, Hermione moves as if she was in a dream. She slid out of her bunk, moved like a sleepwalker towards Ron, her eyes upon his pale face. She stopped right in front of him, her lips slightly parted, her eyes wide. Ron gave a weak, hopeful smile and half raised his arms. And then she launches herself forward and she starts punching every inch of him that she could reach.
Hermione, she just woke up. She's out for blood.
That's what I feel like sometimes in the morning.
When you have...
When Marty's... Yes. But when Marty says, let's get going, I drop everything and fight. Like, I hate that phrase.
Yeah.
It's time to get going. Like, I hate it. Like, don't talk to me. And it's like the birds from Half-Blood Prince, but like times a million. So she's punching and kicking, bitey, bitey, punchy, punchy, right? And she's telling him off, quote, you complete arse, Ronald Weasley. She punctuated every word with a blow. So for each one of those, it's a punch. Ron backed away, shielding his head as Hermione advanced. You crawl back here after weeks and weeks. Oh, where's my wand? And so Harry's like, nope. And up goes his shield charm to separate them. And he cannot have her escalate this with magic. It's already way too physical. And the force, I love this part so much. The force of his shield charm knocks her down, but she immediately gets back up. And all I can, like her, in my brain, her hair's crazy. And she's like, you know, like absolutely just unhinged. And Harry says something very stupid and says, calm down.
You need to calm down.
Thank you.
You're being too loud.
I picture Hermione in that moment as Taylor at the beginning of the Me music video going, je suis calm.
Right.
And then she storms out of the door. Yes. I am calm.
Did you see my notes?
I did.
Okay, good. Yeah,
I all loved right. it.
That's why I sang.
Okay. I said Q's singing Taylor Swift. So Hermione's like, give me my wand back. And Harry's like, nope, not until this is not so intense.
Well, then they should step outside.
What are you laughing at?
What?
Meaty bits.
I was laughing at this gif of Hermione and then how I replied to it with Je suis calme.
Oh. Oh, you missed a really bad dad joke.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
That's not funny now.
No, tell me. That's not funny now. I was looking at Discord. I was trying to be nice to our listeners.
I said Harry doesn't want to give her one back until it's not so intense. And then Katie said,
they should step outside.
Oh, I get it. Intense.
Hermione got a better giggle than I did.
Litter giggle. All right. So she starts laying into Ron again, and it gets pretty bad. But like, I'm listening to Half-Blood Prince again, and she was really mean to him when they were fighting, when he was with Lavender. She was rough. And so this feels like a callback to that. She says, quote, I came running after you. I called you. I begged you to come back. Ron says, I know. Hermione, I'm sorry. I'm really, oh, you're sorry? She laughed a high-pitched, out-of-control sound.
That was good.
Ron looked back at Harry for help, but Harry merely grimaced his helplessness. You come back after weeks, weeks, and you think it's going to be all right if you just say, sorry? And she gets even more brutal in these moments. She doesn't care what he has to say, doesn't care what he's been through, what he's done, and then goes on to roast his intelligence. He goes, "Well, what else can I say?" Ron shouted, and Harry was glad that Ron was fighting back. "I don't know," yelled Hermione with awful sarcasm. "Rack your brains, Ron. That should only take a couple of seconds."
Ooh. That's so mean.
That's so mean. And then Harry finally feels the need to say something.
So mean.
She's not kind in these moments.
But I love her. Well, I'm sorry.
She's mad. And I get it. I think she's laying into him so hard because she sees that he's alive and well and she can do it. Now she has him to keep him. And so she's like, if he was hurt, it would be different.
Yeah.
But she sees that he's okay. So she's, you know, you're hardest on the people who you love, right? So she's just going to absolutely obliterate him.
I think, too, part of it is that, like, she's as upset as she is because she and him are both well aware of the fact that their feelings have been showing for a while.
Yeah.
And he still left her there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, yes, obviously she's upset that he left Harry. But I think she is even more upset that he left her.
In a war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not only left, but then like left her to worry about him because he left.
Yeah.
It's like layers.
Yeah. So like I get it.
Yeah.
Even though she's kind of mean. But, you know, that's Hermione. She can be.
Yeah. Well, he needed a good telling off, I think. Insulting the intelligence was a little bit more, but you know, we can all apologize later, right?
Yeah.
Water under the bridge. And so Harry finally is like, "Hermione," interjected Harry, who considered this a low blow. "He just saved my," and then Ron, he meant to say like, "He just saved my life," right? And Hermione is like, "We could have been dead, you know, this whole time. And you left us." And he yells back at her that he knew that they weren't dead. And I think he goes, "I knew you weren't dead." So like for all of her punctuating each word, like he's going to do it right back at her. And he's finally like fighting back and standing up for himself. And he gets so close to the shield charm. He gets as close as he can. And he's like, "Harry's all over the prophet. There's rumors and stories about you guys, but nobody has reported that you were dead." And then he again says the wrong thing.
"What's it been like for you?" And Hermione is, she's super angry. I'm not going to say the word that I wrote, but she's real mad. "And Ron said he wanted to come back the minute he disapparated, but he walked right into a gang of snatchers. And he is explaining to them that snatchers are everywhere and that they are these gangs that are trying to earn gold by rounding up muggleborns and blood traitors, and that there's rewards from the ministry for everyone that's captured. And he had to lie to the snatchers and tell them that he was Stan Shunpike. And then while they were arguing over if they believe him or not, he had to think quick and make a quick escape while they were bickering. So he grabbed one of their wands. And then he disarms the guy who had his wand because they had taken his wand from him. And then he disapparated with both wands and splinched himself again. He lost 2 fingernails.
I want to point out that this next part with Hermione commenting, yeah, gosh, what a gripping story, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way that Jim Dale reads it, the voice he uses, it's the voice that she uses when she wishes to wound. It sounds exactly like his Umbridge voice.
Oh.
Gosh, what a gripping story.
That's right. Yeah. So when he ended up coming back to the riverbank where he had left them, they were gone. But Hermione is not done yelling at him. And I just copy-pasted this from the book because...
Do it.
Yeah. Hermione said in the lofty voice she adopted when wishing to wound, "You must have been simply terrified. Meanwhile, we went to Godric's Hollow, and let's think, what happened there, Harry? Oh, yes, you know whose snake turned up. It nearly killed both of us, and then you know who himself arrived and missed us by about a second. Imagine losing fingernails, Harry. That really puts our suffering into perspective, doesn't it?"
To be fair, I bet that's very painful.
I'm sure that it is.
Is it worse than a venomous snake bite or, you know who trying to split your head open?
Or witnessing whatever the heck happened to Bathilda. Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
Meatbag! It's finally caught on. I've said it enough times.
But she's feeling a little spicy right now, Hermione.
She is.
Imagine losing fingernails.
No, Harry just lost his wand. That's pretty devastating. Mm. So Harry tries to tell her again that like he just saved his life though, and Hermione just completely ignores him and instead says, "One thing I would like to know though," fixing her eyes on a spot a foot over Ron's head because she's so angry she can't look at him. "How exactly did you find us tonight? That's important. Once we know, we'll be able to make sure we're not visited by anyone else we don't want to see."
Oh, burn!
It's bad.
But then he pulls out the Deluminator, and he explains that this is how he found them, and that it doesn't just turn lights on and off. He had been listening to the radio early on Christmas morning, and then he heard Hermione's voice, not on the radio, but from his pocket through the Deluminator. So he took it out and clicked it, and the light went out in his room and then appeared outside the window. And he compares it to the light of a portkey. It's like a pulsing ball of light. And they both immediately know what he's talking about. He's like a portkey. And they're both like, yeah, Hermione and Harry, they both like get it.
Didn't somebody make a video of a song with his quote from the movie and like just like put it auto-tune?
Yes. I know what you're talking about. Now I have to find it.
Oh no, it's gonna bother me.
I know that
exists. I can watch it between
like
episodes.
Little ball of light or something.
I don't know if I saw that.
Yeah. No, you had to.
Someone like auto-tuned it into a song.
And it, yeah. Does Discord
Someone
know what we're talking about?
Yeah, know what I'm talking
if anyone
about.
Knows, drop
and
a
if,
link.
Yeah, and if you find it, put the link in here.
That would be helpful.
Oh my God.
So little ball of light.
Yep.
So Ron says like he immediately knew that this was it. He was going to find them, or this was going to lead him to find them. So he grabs his stuff, goes outside where this ball of light's waiting for him. It goes behind a shed. He follows it, which I just thought was like kind of cute and weird. And then
kind of cute and weird.
Well, it is. Make sure nobody sees what's going on, you know. The light's got to be secretive. So he followed it, and then it went inside of him, and Harry's like, what? And Ron's like, it floated towards me right to my chest and then went straight through. And he points to like close to his heart, and he says he could feel it. It felt hot, and he knew immediately what he was supposed to do. And he knew that it would take him wherever he needed to go. So he just disapparated and came to the side of a hill with snow everywhere. And then that's when Harry jumps in and he's like, yeah, we were there for two nights. And the second night we kept thinking that someone was moving around in the dark. And Ron's like, yeah, well, that would have been me. And then they find out that clearly their protective spells work because he couldn't see them. He couldn't hear them.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I was sure you were around, though. So in the end, I got in my sleeping bag and waited for one of you to appear. Ron's out in a sleeping bag in the snow.
Well,
with no protections.
He needed to pay a little bit of a price.
A little bit.
Yeah. And he's like, I thought you'd show yourselves when you packed up
show
the tent.
Show yourself!
This is perfect because there's snow and it's cold. And Hermione jumps in, happy to tell him that he's wrong, right? No, because we've been disapparating under the invisibility cloak as an extra precaution. And they left early because, quote, we'd heard somebody blundering around. Not just agreeing with Harry, like, yeah, we thought we heard someone.
You know, she had to add in that little phrase.
Oh, it's so bad. So Ron says he stayed on that hill all day, hoping they would appear. But when it started getting dark, he knew that he probably missed them. So he used the Deluminator again, and it did the same thing. I think is really cool. It's not like a one and done magic. It's like, oh, you still need help? You still need guidance? I got you. So he disapparated to the woods that they're in now. And again, like just hoped one of them would show up. So he saw the doe first and then Harry. And then they had to explain everything to Hermione about the silver doe and the sword in the pool and Ron saving him and opening the locket. And that's when Ron kind of like hesitates, right? Because I don't think he really wants to tell her all of his.
Do you think he ever does?
I would hope so. Like, hey, this is what happened when I opened the locket.
I feel like they have to talk about it sometime.
I don't know. They don't tend to talk about much.
It's true.
Not them particularly. Sometimes just I Wizarding forget. World people.
I forget. And like you and Marty aren't like this. I just need to preface it. But like a lot of heterosexual relationships. Like they don't communicate very well.
I mean, I think you could don't. Some relationships not at all, you know?
Right.
No, definitely
but
not.
But I
at
do
all.
Feel like it leans more towards non-queer people.
I think that's a direct dissension from the fact that what do you say is better to be queer? Cheers, queers.
Cheers, queers.
I think truly, though, if you want to like get into it, I think right. that also comes from like.
I'm sorry, Katie.
What'd you say?
She said, you're all right. I said, you're all right.
Yeah, you're all right.
God.
Just sit here and be straight. You're a fucking straight friends. Oh, man. I'm trying to be serious over here. I think that the way that society and the world tells men to how they're supposed to be,
absolutely,
they don't learn to communicate. So like, it's honestly not even to anyone's fault. It's because of the way that, sadly, the way it is, and I hate that.
I think it's unraveling.
Oh, I agree with you.
I think it's unraveling slowly. Yeah. Gotta talk about how you feel.
Yep.
Yep.
Sure do.
Mm-hmm. Better for everybody, including the person talking, you know? Can't keep all that in your inside.
One person can't feel all that.
Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling. They scour the globe for original, handmade, absolutely remarkable things. Somehow they know exactly the perfect gift for every single person you know. Here's a few of my favorite gifts that I found on their site. Kate and I love to travel, and they have these really awesome custom map serving trays. And I just love whenever you can find that personalized thing of something that's important to you or a loved one, and you can get it on something unique like a serving tray or a coaster or something like that. They also have this really awesome personalized word search throw blanket. And seeing as my wife loves word games, I think that that would be a great gift for her. It would be so fun. You can put specific words and stuff that you want on there. It would be super special and personalized. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Their Uncommon Goods is always looking for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts anywhere. They even have gifts that you can personalize. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/swish. That's uncommongoods.com/swish for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, and they all mess with our hormones. And I know that as a mom of two, my hormone imbalance needed some help. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extract called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life, like for me, having some kids. PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, uncontrollable cravings, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, Hormone Harmony can help with those things. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality. And guys, it definitely shows. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SWISH, S-W-I-S-H, at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SWISH for 15% off today.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Where the heck was I?
They explained everything to Hermione about the silver
dove. Oh yeah.
The dove appeared.
Are you looking at what I saw?
Yeah.
Mia said, I thought Katie was gonna invite Teef to be in a thruple when she put her arm back and said, if you want to get into it.
I do.
You're all right.
You're all right.
Yeah, I don't know what I would bring to this relationship. Not much.
Tiffany. Oh, so Harry cuts in for him and says, and then Ron stabbed it with the sword. And Hermione's kind of like in awe. She's like, it just went just like that.
And Harry, just like that, right?
Right. No problem. You just stab it and it's gone. And Harry's like, well, it screamed.
He's such a dang liar.
A bad liar.
Gosh.
He's a bad liar.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, Hermione has been concentrating so hard on this story that they're telling her that she forgot to, like, be all locked up and mad. So she's, like, just thinking about what's going on.
Yeah.
And Harry thinks it's finally safe to remove the shield charm between them. And then Harry's like, Ron, did you mention that you had an extra wand from that snatcher? Because his is broken. Ron's like, no kidding. But at that moment, Hermione got to her feet and he looked apprehensive again. This is from the book. Hermione put the vanquished Horcrux into the beaded bag, then climbed back into her bed and settled down without another word. Ron passed Harry the new wand. About the best you could hope for, I think, murmured Harry. Yeah, said Ron. Could have been worse. Remember those birds she set on me? I still haven't ruled it out, came Hermione's muffled voice from beneath her blankets. But Harry saw Ron smiling slightly as he pulled his maroon pajamas out of his rucksack.
I think he knew in that moment, like, it's going to be okay between us.
You just got to wait it out a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe not do anything stupid. For a long time.
Yeah.
We got a lot of questions.
Nice. I saw a bunch popping up.
Dusty Fur asked, did you expect Hermione to attack Ron?
I think when you're initially reading that paragraph for the first time, it's the wide eyes, the parted lips, and I'm like, are we gonna kiss right now?
I thought that they might kiss in that moment.
It sounds very, I'm gonna like embrace you in this moment, you're back, and we're in love.
Right.
But no, I don't think I expected it.
I don't think I did either. I thought that they were going to kiss and then was like, oh.
Do you think Hermione ever, like, during those next couple of days where she's like really still mad, just like walks by him to scare him, just be like,
I would.
Just like, check you. She knows the power she holds right now.
He's probably like,
Sam asked, how would you have reacted to Ron's return?
I would have probably hugged him and then hit him, maybe. I don't know. I would have yelled. I would have been mad, but I also would have been very happy.
Yeah.
I'd probably angry cried.
Yeah.
Like relief. A bunch of more than a teaspoon of emotions.
But so made sure feelings. That he knew.
Yeah. That you done that, messed up AA Ron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys even know what I'm talking about?
No.
Heard it a million times. I still don't remember what it's from, though.
God, Katie.
CJ.
We'll learn today.
What color would you make your flames? Like Hermione has the bluebell flames.
Purple!
I would want purple ones, too.
Or pink.
Purple or green?
Purple or... I was going to say orange because that's my favorite color, but fire is orange. So that doesn't really help.
I mean, if you like it.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be like real neon orange.
That'd be cool.
Like Charmander's tail.
Yeah.
Or like something weird like gray. That's my other favorite color.
Gray? Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. Okay, actually, too. CJ, again, how would this conversation have been different if they'd been honest about their romantic feelings? So I actually kind of think that, like, they had been, is my take on this. I think
they're holding hands, falling asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that
just because Harry doesn't note it.
Right.
Right. Maybe that's why. I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I was just going to say, so I think this is how it would have gone if they'd talked about their romantic feelings, because I think they did.
Yeah.
But they just hadn't.
I think there's definitely been, like, enough between them where they're both, like, they both know.
Yeah.
They've just been very careful with the relationship.
Well, because, I mean, if you think about it, like, I almost feel like going from best friends to lovers, that trope, it's like the hardest one to overcome, I think, because there's so much at stake when you change the relationship. Because you're like, this is not only just someone who I have feelings for, but this is my best friend. I'm, and if I
deeply entwined with this person.
Yeah. And like, if I mess this up.
Yeah.
I can't lose my best friend.
It's a double whammy.
Yeah. So I get it. And then Destifer asked, why does Harry always take Ron's side, especially in this circumstance when Harry was just as hurt and angry with Ron for leaving?
I mean, that's fair.
Why does Harry always take Ron's side, even though Harry was just as upset?
I think Harry has that weird middleman thing. He just wants peace. I feel that deep in my soul.
Well, me also too. A lot of the times I'll give in to things just because it's the easier thing to do.
Yeah.
To be fair, they did have a moment, and they had a huge moment deep in the forest.
It's true.
Like, Ron's secrets are literally on display.
Yeah.
Harry's like, oh my God, I didn't realize you felt that way.
Be gentle with him.
And that's also true. Was like, also explained to him, like, I had no idea. Like, she's a sister to me, dude, you know? And also, like I love you. You're a brother to me, basically. Like, they hug.
And that does answer a lot of questions about, like, how Ron was acting before they left and whatnot.
So it's, I think, also they, like, cleared it up already.
It's like an unconscious protection. Like, he's not thinking, oh, I need to protect him. It's just something that he does.
Yeah. That's very hairy.
Michigan State Brent asks,
Brand stinking low.
If the trace works by just sensing the existence of magic spells, not the age of who's doing magic, why doesn't the Voldemort controlled ministry track the trio by the magic that's happening in the middle of these woods?
They're not underage.
Yeah, I think it's because the trace is something that is, like, regulated.
Under 17s.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, as soon as they hit that age, like, you can't track that.
Right.
Anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it is interesting to think about the fact that, like, they do have that. I think that what they're trying to ask is, like, we know that the ministry has the ability.
Oh, okay.
But I think that, like, it would just be too much to track.
I feel like that's some kind of ancient magic that I don't even understand how that it works anyway. Because, like, are they monitoring magic at every single household? Like, how does that even work?
Because if you think about it, like, they don't track it as much at the Weasley household as, like, at Harry's household. Or, you know what I mean?
Do they?
But they can't, because, like, Molly's using magic all the time.
What if there's just rooms upon rooms upon rooms in the Department of Mysteries where everybody's monitoring?
Is that what they do?
The unspeakables? In their crystal balls.
Is that what the Unspeakables do?
Oh, maybe.
Oh my God. It's Big Brother.
Big Brother.
Big Whiz.
I don't like it.
Big Whiz.
Marguerite asks, do you think Dumbledore knew Ron was going to do this based on Goblet of Fire? If so, does this show he was acutely aware of his Hogwarts students and their needs?
What?
We think that Dumbledore knew Ron was going to do this because of how he acted in Goblet of Fire. And if that's the case, does this show that he was acutely aware of his students and their needs?
I you go first.
I think that Dumbledore knows Ron maybe more than other students because he's so close to Harry.
And he's a time-traveling Dumbledore.
Yes. but even as far as like Sorcerer's Stone, right? The Mirror of Erised, he knows what Ron saw. Oh, Ron That's saw true. Himself yep. overshadowed, blah, blah, blah. So like he knows Ron's mm-hmm. character and watches this kid grow because he's watching Harry, right? Mm-hmm. So if he has any inkling that he might do that, needs an Illuminator.
Yeah.
So I think he knew him. Like, obviously, he's not as close to him like Harry was.
Right.
But we know Dumbledore's extremely observant.
Yes. I do think that Dumbledore knows Ron's character.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, he's been watching Harry. He's got all the portraits around. He's got the fat lady. He's
got the secret chocolate frogs. I got about six of him.
But I think that, like, definitely the mirror was a big indicator. And that's a long, that's playing the long game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to just kind of have, like, a really good intuition about Hermione and about Ron and, like, who would benefit from having this. I don't know. I just feel like he knew him really well. Also, yeah. He's probably a seer. I don't know.
I mean, knows, also,
he, everybody's a seer.
Dumbledore has not occlumency. He has.
Legilimens?
Yeah, he can, like.
He's a Legilimens.
He's a Legilimens, right?
I don't think he was close enough to Ron at any point to do that.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
I wonder if you could, like, pinpoint someone in, like, a crowd, though, and be like, I want to read their mind. In which case, he could have done it, like, at any feast. I don't know.
Ron maybe when he was wearing, like, a bonnet.
Chicken, mashed potatoes. That's all. Yeah,
that's
mind.
All that's going on. It's like more potatoes.
That's true.
Potatoes. That's the wrong fandom.
All right. Discord discourse. Dusty first said, but she's right, meaning Hermione.
Mm.
He abandoned them when they needed him the most just because of his own personal Bob's Shorts issues.
Yeah.
And it annoys me that Harry always takes Ron's side when Harry was just as angry as Hermione is now when Ron first left.
Well, very true. I think your point about what he just saw when the Horcrux opened, I think that has a lot to do with him.
With his forgiveness.
Yeah, and the fact that he saved his life. So, like, it does it make it right? No, not necessarily, but it does put rose-colored glasses on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Sarker says, Ron saying he lost fingernails is like when my husband complains he has a headache. Meanwhile, I'm pregnant and have had one for months. LOL, no sympathy.
I feel that in my soul. Yeah.
The man cold is real.
It's alive and well in my home.
I've
God
seen
love
it.
Him though. God love him.
Well, I like what Gil said. I also feel like Hermione must feel really overpowered and alone and isolated because of Harry and Ron sometimes, and that makes me so sad.
That's true.
Overpowered and alone.
But also Hermione is so,
I feel like she's the cornerstone of their relationship.
Independent.
Well, I feel like sometimes it's
like that they override her.
Like they can
but they listen to her quite a bit.
What am I trying to say?
Well,
gang up on her sometimes.
Yeah, like I'm thinking like Prisoner of Azkaban, how they just like completely don't talk to her for weeks because of the broom thing. And then like Ron.
That was a long time ago.
I know. Yeah. I mean, kids can be mean.
No, I'm just kidding.
Kids can be mean.
Kids can be, grown-ups can be mean. You know, it's just.
Hermione is definitely their leader now, though. Brandon said that.
She is. She's the leader of the pack.
All right, fan story.
Fan story. This comes from Claudia. Hi, Claudia. Hola, Swish and Flick. My name is Claudia, born and raised in Puerto Rico, and a Hogwarts wishful student since 2001.
I feel that.
I've been listening to your podcast since 2018, and it has been truthfully the best way to embrace my love of Potter and escape from some truly daunting times throughout these years. My Potter story begins with the first movie. I wasn't a big reader growing up. My family is very sports oriented, so reaching for books was not in my nature. However, I've always loved movies, especially those that let us travel to other places and immerse ourselves in the story. remember my first time watching Harry Potter was at a good friend's birthday party. He had read all the books, and I was instantly yearning to be part of that world when Hagrid said, "You're a wizard, Harry." The Diagon Alley scene lives rent-free in my brain. After that, I continued to watch all of the movies until after movie 5 that I was a bit older and could not wait to know what happens. I decided to pick up the books and started reading Half-Blood Prince. Half-Blood Prince cried so much.
Yep.
Until Deathly Hallows. After that much didn't make sense, gaps in the movies, so I decided to read the entire series. It's been a gift to watch some of the movies without previous knowledge because I could appreciate the director's interpretation, but the books are so much better.
Yes.
I understand that, though. That's cool.
But also, yes.
Yeah. I think it was a weird mix, but a wonderful one. Nowadays, I reread the books often and listen to you guys every week. It is my safe space and where I truly feel like part of a community. Why am I writing my Potter story now? Well, before I was embarrassed to, but recently we lost one of my cats named Zuko and have not been able to locate him. When this happened, I immediately wanted to reach out to Meg and Katie because I know they would be as heartbroken as I am. Tiff, you too, I know.
Yeah.
I just wanted some help coping with this and knew there wasn't a better space than with you guys. I wanted to thank you all for this podcast and how you've created a safe space for Potterheads and beyond the podcast. My Potter credentials, House Ravenclaw, Patronus Dolphin. Hey, me too.
Nice.
We do.
Patronus Twins. Twinsies.
Sure, Jan.
Wand Larchwood with unicorn core, 10¾ inches in rigid flexibility, and favorite character, Professor McGonagall.
I like the addition of favorite character.
Yeah, I like that too.
Ooh.
I know you like to see pictures. Here is Zuko. We are still hoping we can find him. Please send prayers.
He looks like Icky.
Mm-hmm. Wanted to share that I was truly sad in the passing of your cat and hope it has gotten easier with time. Cried that whole episode for you guys.
I hope you have found Zuko.
I would like an update. Precious. Yeah, he looks so like much Iggy like Iggy. Can. Oh my God, so much.
What a and precious baby.
Zuko like Danny Zuko from Grease?
I don't know. I need to know that too.
I need to know.
Oh, Claudia, I hope he comes home. And thank you for your sweet words about Iggy, too. Because it's been a year, you know? It's been a year. Mm-hmm. But also, I really like your take on the mix with the movies and the books. And I think that's really cool. And, like, you're sweet. I'm just going to go cry now.
Okay. Why don't you tell a joke so you don't cry?
I didn't pick one because I forgot to do that part of my job.
What? Don't me.
All right, here's a dumb one. Ready? What happens when you enchant bacon?
All I can think of is ar yakin. Yep.
For some bacon. Yep.
You get a pork key.
You know what? I have not been that into bacon lately. I'm
not super into bacon either.
Chicken sausage type of gal these days.
I like some bacon.
See, I don't know. There's something about it lately. I used to love it.
Oh, people are guessing Zuko from Avatar too.
I don't know Avatar.
Well, if you'd like to follow us on social media, myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at the Petrus Family, and Tiffany is on Instagram at tiffswish_flick. I don't believe that we got a bingo.
Gosh, you guys are slacking. Tiffany!
But the House Cup standings are Gryffindor.
Dang.
Gryffindor's in first, Ravenclaw's in second, Slytherin's in third, and Hufflepuff's in fourth.
Roar, Gryffindor. Roar, Gryffindor. Good job, Griffs, in the chat.
Yeah. Well done, Gryffindor. However,
there ain't no however up in this piece.
I don't know. You do have me.
What?
She said you better watch your back.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get you.
I could put some points in there for Slytherin.
Don't do that.
Not so McKenna, many.
McKenna said Meg is a sneaky snake. She's a sneaky snake. This one is for the Big Wiz and Private Eyes. I'm watching you.
What?
I always feel like somebody's watching me. And I got no privacy.
We gotta go.
That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. And don't let the muggles get you down.
My throat got so dry.
Amazing. Chocolate my boys.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.